So we are on moral, and we're on the first one of moral. Okay, so moral. Principle 4. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. The verse is, happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. Then the step. Step 4. We made a searching, fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And the verse is, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. Okay. Well, there are ways to maximize the growth at this time and minimize the pain. But the only sure way to get rid of the pain of the past is to go through it. Principle 4 starts out with gathering information about ourselves. Now that we have a firm foundation, Jesus, we begin to lay the groundwork for what comes next, the scariest step of all, the fourth step, and that is our inventory. But we do it with the assistance of a loving, patient, and kind God. We are all on a journey, and we're going to say, as in Job 7:11, I will not keep silent. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit. I will not complain in the bitterness of my soul. In other words, we're not holding back anymore. We're going to go for it. Excuse me. Okay, so we began by embracing God's unconditional love for us, rather than trying to earn it any longer. When we accept Jesus as our one higher power, we need to be truthful as possible as we can be to allow God to show our part in each event and how that has affected us and how it has affected others. Okay. So we started with Lamentations, one of the verses. And Lamentations is a book that shows God is just, but he is also a God of hope, love, compassion, and salvation, one who does not abandon those who turn to him for help. I think probably many of us have turned to people for help at some time or another, maybe even as a child, and we did not get the help. We were ignored. We were neglected. We were told it was stupid. You know, all kinds of things like that. But God doesn't do that. Praise God. Okay. Israel's sin brought dire consequences. We must look at the damaging effects that sin has had on us. We find freedom and forgiveness when we pray in repentance. We cannot believe the lie that sin doesn't devastate our lives. In Jesus Christ, we are free from sin, not free to sin. So, the three things I wanted to look at are that, okay. We made a searching, fearless, moral inventory. So those three words I wanted to look at. Searching. If you want to know the Greek, it's anakrimo. And it means to examine, investigate, discover. Which is pretty interesting because it's also referred to us in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11:27, where we are learning about communion. Uh-oh. I think it must be 2 Corinthians. Sorry. I can't read my own writing. My daughter will love that because she can't read it either. It's an aging thing. What can I say? Okay. Okay, maybe they moved it from my Bible. I don't know. 27. Well, for some reason, I can't find it. I'll try 1 Corinthians one more time. Okay, sorry. 1 Corinthians 11:27. Okay, so as we are learning how to take communion, we find, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So we're told again, before we're even going to have communion, that we need to examine ourselves. We need to discover ourselves. We need to get in there and dig around. In Lamentations 3:40 through 42, in the Message, it says, "Let's take a good look at the way we're living and reorder our lives under God. Let's lift our hearts and hands at one and the same time, praying to God in heaven. We've been contrary and willful, and you haven't forgiven us." And that was because we didn't repent. "Let us examine our ways and test them." We just heard that. "But let us return to the Lord. I called on your name, Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. You came near when I called, and you said, 'Do not fear.' You, Lord, took up my case. You redeemed my life." So the reason I was talking about that a little bit is just that having done a few step studies now, whenever we start talking about the fourth step, I mean, it can start at the first meeting practically. People start getting into a panic about what is going to be required and what's going to happen when I talk about it. And it just goes on and on because we're opening up some old wounds, probably. Things that we've tried to keep buried under our denial. Things we tried to pretend really weren't that bad. Or we are considering ourselves being the cause of a problem that maybe we really aren't, such as in an abusive situation. We don't have to fear God. He's been there. He saw it all. He knows it all. He already knows our hearts. He already knows the person he made us to be, and he lives by faith that we will become that person. Okay, fearless. This is the next step. We must make a fearless inventory. We're safe. In 1 John 4, verse 16 of the New American Standard, "We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected in us, made complete." That's what that perfected means. It's complete in us. So we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. In verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love." So the Lord's telling us, if we fear, if we're afraid to come clean, as this whole chapter talks about coming clean, then we know that we don't have confidence before him. We don't just go to him and reveal ourselves to him because we're living in fear. We can fearlessly examine ourselves because God already knows what we've done. He knows our attitudes, our thoughts, our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And he still loves us. He has already put our due punishment on Jesus. We can boldly come to his throne of grace so we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That's in Hebrews 4:16. Why is it so difficult to document a completely honest inventory? Lack of faith is a reason. And if you don't have faith, you're probably in fear. Hard to call a sin a sin. We want to whitewash it and not call it that bad, because we know other people did a lot worse. We doubt God's love and promise to forgive. We have to trust his word. His word is alive. He watches over it to perform it, and it will do what he says it'll do. So when he sends his word to forgive us, we're forgiven. And sometimes it's just that we are afraid to trust God, afraid to go face to face and just be real with him. You know, many of us have had bad experiences with fathers. I got saved when I was like 26. And I fell in love with Jesus. Jesus just, his presence was so real. And he showed me unconditional love by what he did for me. And I believed it and I received it and I loved it. And it was great. But it took me years to overcome my distance with my Heavenly Father because I had a bad situation with my own father, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute. Leave you hanging. We are called to believe in a love that our life experience has not been conceivable in our lives. You know, we're called to this beautiful, selfless, unconditional love. And yet, we never had that before. How can you take a chance to open to that? But it's worth it. Okay. All right, so let's look at our acrostic. Where is it? I thought I brought it with me. Okay, there it is. The first one, the letter M. M is for moral. Oh, excuse me. No, it's not. I lied. M is for make time. I've looked at that word moral so much in the past few weeks. I'm sorry. Okay. Make time. That is something that is very priceless to us. Time is, we're always saying, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time to exercise. I don't have enough time to hang out with my friends. I don't have enough time to spend with God. It's very easy to get into that thought process if we don't take a stand, because we have an enemy. We have an enemy that wants to break up our relationship with our Heavenly Father. He wants us to push him aside. Okay, we're saved. but we're going to live like hell for the next 50 or 60 years on this life because we're not having a communion, a relationship with Jesus every single day. So make time, whether it's a day, a weekend. We encourage that when we're doing the step study. We say, you know, maybe go to the beach, get away from the beach. But anyway, go to the beach. It's so gloomy here, I'm sorry. But maybe that's good, you know, gloom, and then you kind of get in there digging around and crying and all that good stuff. It might be the perfect environment. Or, you know, sometimes people have to break it up, and that's okay. You don't have to go away for a whole weekend. You don't have to go away for a whole day. But if you could spend a couple of hours that are just for him, to just set aside and say, I am going to let you in my heart and move things around and teach me things, show me what you need to show me, and I'm gonna trust you for that, Lord. In Job 33:33, he says, he will provide us with wisdom and clarity to complete our inventory. God is faithful. Even when we are faithless, even when we are in rebellion, even when we are drowning in our sin and we totally deny him, he is faithful and he wants us and he wants to help find a way to connect us with him. Of course, Jesus is that way, but he's looking for the opening. He's knocking at the door, as we always say. In 2 Chronicles 32:78, let's see. With us is the Lord. Our God is to help us and to fight our battles. God's faithfulness is that he is always available. It's not something you can find anywhere else. He's always available, day or night, snow or sleet, or what else was it? Postal person's little thing. God is available through everything. Okay, next letter is O. And O is for, open yourselves up. Our hearts, our minds, and our wills. It's up to us. God is not going to take a can opener and open us up, even if we are petrified fish or something. He is not going to do that. He's wanting us to say, I'm opening up to you, Lord. He wants us to release the pain of the past that is blocked or denied. Denial has been a survival skill, protecting us from our negative feelings and repressing our pain. But over the years, it's prevented true recovery. So I'm going to tell you a little story about a part of my denial in life. And it was pretty long. Like I said, when I was 26, I had the privilege of meeting Jesus in San Diego, and he became my life, and 2 years later, he led me into a marriage. Now, God can lead you into good things, and God can lead you into difficult things. It's not a surprise that he does do that, and the marriage was very difficult. I was ready to leave, I would say, the third day, maybe the second. But I had a commitment to God, so I wasn't going to go anywhere at that time. Anyway, so about 2 years into it, I gained about 10 or 20 pounds. and which doesn't seem like much now, but it was a lot then. And I was really kind of panicking because I was turning to food for comfort. Well, at least I didn't turn to heroin for comfort, but, you know, the marriage was that bad, I could have. It was my tradition to fast and pray on Wednesdays and seek the Lord for my marriage and anything else he brought up. So I said to him, why am I gaining weight? What's going on? I feel like I'm in a panic. God, help me. And I'll tell you, he started to tell me what it was. He started putting visions in front of my face and different thought processes. And I said, no, I'm not going to look at this. Forget it. I don't want to do it. And I went on a binge. And this happened 3 weeks in a row. And finally, the fourth week, I said to him, I am going to sit here in this chair and I am not going to move or eat until you show me what's going on in my life. And God, who is so merciful and so kind, showed me that I had been abused by my father since the time I was 3 till about 8. And you can imagine that was quite a shock, that for 28, I married him at 28, so almost 30 years, I kept that from myself. And I suppose if you were a really wise person, you could have seen that something was wrong because of the way I was living, you know, sleeping around. I mean, it was the 70s, but still, you know, and just living a really decadent life until I met the Lord. That's when all that went away because I didn't need it anymore. So he had me in this marriage that was difficult because it was putting me in the place to open to him these absolutely solid closed doors to my heart and my mind. And really, I was so grateful that he did. I went to my prayer group that evening, and we all came together after we pray and we just talked about things that God has shown us or whatever. And I told them about what happened. And God brought forth a word, and I don't know if you believe in the Holy Spirit doing this, but he does do it, a word of knowledge. And he said, my daughter, what I showed you is true. And there are 3 other women that have suffered the same way as you here. And there were like 25 of us. And they got touched by the Holy Spirit so that they could get delivered too. So I had huge 30-year denial, but God just broke it like that when I said yes, and he began healing me. And it took several years. It was not an easy thing to go through, but he's faithful. So as we're going to work on this inventory, we want to wake up our feelings. We want to think about, what do I feel guilty about? Who do I resent? Am I in depression, frustration, anger? What are my fears? So some thought processes to get thinking about opening up, chiseling that hard heart, if that's what your heart is like. Okay, R. R is rely on God. In Psalm 31:23-24, he says, oh no, that's not in Psalm 30. Okay, I just have to confess. I have been studying this for a couple of weeks, but I got so sick this Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, today, with just an attack from that stinking enemy. And I said, I don't care, I'm going to go, even if I'm not as organized as I would like to be. Sorry. Isaiah 40:29. He gives strength to the weary. and the power, and then power to the weak. So if we're weary or weak, he will give us the strength to face these problems, our past. A, analyze. That's what A is. I got more on that. Analyze our past honestly. And that's what moral means, actually. Moral. We didn't go through that word. It means honest, sincere, candid, frank, open, straightforward, upfront, and above board. So getting real. I think that's what it really means, getting real. And I love Psalm 51. I think it's such a comforting psalm when you blow it, because we know David blew it really bad here. He was in adultery, and he killed one of his leaders in the military, somebody he was close to. And he really betrayed a lot of people. The things we do can affect others, right? We know that. So in 51, I just want to read a little bit of it. I'll try not to read it all. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. So he is begging God, pleading for forgiveness and cleansing. In 3-6, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Boy, has anybody been in that place? Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. So if we just take that chance to let God do some surgery in that internal being of us, he can deliver us. He can give us a new heart, a new mind, a mind that is in tune with him. If we want it, if we're willing to pay the price. The last one I have is L, which means list. Okay, that's going to talk about the good and the bad. And it made me think about my days of working in ICU. And every shift, we had to do an inventory of all the narcotics. Every single shift. Two nurses, real nurses, had to go in and count how many narcotics were there, had to sign it off, had to discover if there were any issues, and sometimes there were, but we all hoped there wasn't. And that was a hard list to have to deal with every single day. But it wasn't the only list we had. We also had to look at the crash cart. A crash cart is, well, it's a craftsman tool kit that's about this high and got all those drawers. And what's in it is anything you could possibly need for if a patient codes or dies or comes very close to dying and we're going to try to resuscitate them in ICU. And so every shift, two people had to go and check that cart and make sure everything was where it should be. Because if it wasn't where it should be, somebody might die. And so God is saying to us, do your list. You won't die. Don't be afraid. Don't run from it. He's there with you. And like I said, he already knows it all. And he's going to walk you through it. last thing I want to say is we've had the opportunity over the last few weeks to accept Jesus as our Savior, the true higher power, the Lord and Savior of us all. We realized that we are, I'm trying to read it without my glasses. We've realized we are not our own and that we cannot manage our own lives. We have come to believe that God loves us and has the power to help each of us recover. We realize that we made the choice to follow Jesus. But maybe there's somebody here that didn't make that choice at the time, or maybe they didn't know they needed to make that choice, or maybe they didn't see any value in it. Tonight can be your night to see value in it, to see our Jesus touch your heart and your life, and you can start anew. And you have brothers and sisters here that love you and will be there for you. Thank you.